So this is Juhi Kwan. Today is July 12, 2013, and I'm here at Khmer Girls in Action. And we are interviewing for the Asian American Reproductive Justice Project for the Sophia Smith Collection. So thank you so much for being here. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to get started with your personal involvement with KGA, and maybe you could tell us a little story about how you got involved.
Yeah, sure. So I was in high school in, I think, 1998. I started my freshman year, 1998. And I know that KJ was formerly known as APEAR, and they started in 97. So in high school, there was a couple of older girls who were already part of the program. They were like juniors and seniors, and they were actually recruiting members to be part of the HOPE Project, which stood for helping opportunity, problem solving, empowerment, mm-hmm. I believe. But anyway, so we thought it was cool that some older girls came up to us and asked us to join, and that if we filled out the application, we got ice cream. So it was a good incentive during this hot weather in Cali. Yeah. So it was really easy to apply, actually, because the youth, there was other students who actually asked us to join. They were very friendly, and you wanted, you know, as a freshman, you wanted to be part of this something bigger, part of this organization, and hang out with older girls. So that was how I started, and we actually applied. They called us back. They actually offered to provide rides to pick us up and drop us off. Okay, so that made it. From school, yeah, from school, and then to drop us off at home, which made it easier for us to be part of the program. And on top of that, my mom was definitely very supportive. I guess you could say, like, in the beginning, she didn't really know much about what we were doing, what the organization is about, but she grew to learn as she started coming to the events and supporting the work and the campaigns that I was part of. So it was just a good way to really just, how do you say, like, have something to do, you know, like during that time. Mm-hmm. It's like to keep you busy, yeah. And then you're learning something new, and you get to be around other Khmer women, mm-hmm. and also you get to be in a space where you get to express yourself and talk about issues that young Khmer women are facing. So that's what really kept me staying in KGA, and then also because my friends were still part of KGA, so it was more like your friends can join and your friends are coming. Yeah. So it was really a good, fun, friendly space.
Is there like a really big Khmer population in your area or your high school?
Yeah, I actually attended the largest public school here in Long Beach. So there was a resettlement that happened in 1980, in the early 1980s, throughout the late 1980s. There were waves of refugees who resettled here in Long Beach. So what ended up happening was there's a large population of Southeast Asians, but particularly Khmer folks living in Long Beach, and majority of the families, yeah. Their children went to Pauley High School. Oh, okay. So the school I went to was Pauley High School, and it's in central Long Beach, and it's in the heart of like the Cambodian community, and it's now called Cambodia Town.
I actually passed by it on the way here.
Yeah.
All the writings I couldn't read, but like all the food places.
Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of local businesses, a lot of homes, a lot of restaurants and places like temples and areas where a lot of the Cambodian community stay or they go to. So that's pretty much, you know, where my school is located as well. And it's the largest, actually, public school in Long Beach. You could say it's overcrowded. Because they have like four, when I was going to school, they had like 4,000 students there. So
9 through 12.
Wow. I think 4,000 to 5,000, so. And it's not that big of a school. It's not that nice either, but that's where I got recruited into KGA. So the location of the organization at that time was really close by, so it was accessible for us.
Was KGA somewhere else before it was here?
Yeah, it was. It was in multiple places. So we grew. We really grew. We really were looking for places that were easy for the youth to go to, and also in the heart of the Cambodian community, and also like where rent is is affordable. So that was a big deal for us. So we actually used to be in the old UCC building, which is a United Cambodian Community building, and it was made up of different service organizations, and we were like the only group during that time that was doing organizing work. Oh. So, yeah.
Oh, so you started there, and then you eventually moved over here.
Yeah, we eventually ended up here.
Are there any other Khmer organizations that does women's work, kind of like you do?
In Long Beach?
Yeah.
So, not in terms of the kind of work that we do. Mm-hmm. It's just recently that we got the BHC, the Building Healthy Community grant from, what is it, from the Endowment Center. And
California?
They gave us, yeah, the California Endowment. And they gave us money to really shape and change the way things look for us here through policy work. So a lot of different organizations have been involved. KJ is one of the leading organizations here involved. In terms of other organizations that work specifically on RJ or with just women in general, I don't know of in Long Beach. I know there's other Khmer youth group who provide services and do leadership development for youth in general. Like I think there's some Khmer youth. UCC is one of them, and UCC stands for United Cambodian Community, and they work with their youth, but I don't know exactly what they do. They work with Khmer youth, and then there's EM3, Men with Meaningful Messages, and they're part of St. Mary's Hospital. And they say they do leadership development too. Their group is made up of mostly young Southeast Asian men, mm-hmm. but I think it's a group that's made for young men in general, mm-hmm. or like youth who are in high school.
Yeah,
multiracial youth in high school.
I know you weren't here when Up Here first started, like the Hope mm-hmm. program, but do you know what the motivation was behind, you know, targeting Southeast Asian and specifically Khmer women?
I knew that in the beginning APEER was formed because they wanted to work on reproductive health mm-hmm. issues. So just taking on like education and awareness and being conscious of your reproductive health and how to get access to it and things like that. So I think it grew from there where we realized that there was a lot more issues that were impacting young women, and it wasn't just reproductive health, but also being able to connect reproductive health issues to immigrant and refugee rights. And like a lot of the community was facing deportation too during that time. So there was multiple issues that was affecting young women, and we wanted to branch out. But I know in the beginning we started off just focusing on reproductive health issues.
Could you talk a little bit more about the workshops or kind of the program that you started with? I know it was a while ago.
Yeah. Can you put on pause real quick?